got a title here that I want to share and exhort today. And we're calling our teaching Nothing New Under the Sun with Regard to Faith. Nothing New Under the Sun with Regard to Faith. And I'm taking this from the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 9 to 11 of Ecclesiastes. Nothing new under the sun with regard to faith. That is what we're going to discuss today. And it says in verse 9, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. It's interesting, this statement, as it opens up, because as we know, the book of Ecclesiastes is primarily dealing with vanity, the futility and the emptiness of vanity, trying to be happy apart from God. That is what is being raised here through these teachings, and we believe this to be written by Solomon himself. And it means that the heart of man is still the same without God. There is nothing new under the sun. There is still that pride, that vanity. And it says that you are vain when you put things first before God. And of course, we know that the fall produced all of this. I'll just remind you briefly what it says in Romans 8 and verse 20, just to familiarize ourselves. Romans 8, verse 20. For the creation was subject to futility or vanity, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, or sons of God. So there we see a parallel. We live in a fallen state. And what we experience and what we see and what we hear, there is nothing new under the sun. In actual fact, there's nothing new under the sun with regard to faith. There's nothing new, really, what I am preaching and teaching, which we believe is led and inspired by the Holy Spirit. So, what is God saying to us? Well, he still says to us today, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, that the just walk by faith. And that is how we are to walk. That is the walk that God has designed in the conditions of a fallen world that we live in. If he had chosen any other way or mode of walk, he would have done so. But God, who is infinite wisdom, all wisdom, who knows all things, has so purposed and planned that this is the way that we walk. That we are to walk by faith. Now, of course, that is nothing new. But I think sometimes we need to understand why it is that we walk by faith. And indeed, we walk by faith simply because of what we have just read back in Ecclesiastes, that there is nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new to what we're preaching. There's nothing new to what we read in the Word of God. Now, it may be to us, and indeed it is a blessing. And we are blessed by revelation as our minds are illumined for it, but there is still nothing new. And that is the whole point of what Solomon is saying here. So we find ourselves living in a fallen world of vanity and pride, and it is vanity and pride because man tries to live without God in his life. And that is why this book is written. Ecclesiastes is not the easiest of books to interpret. It can sound very dull and very negative. One could almost feel, well, what's the point? It's all hopeless, useless. But the whole emphasis of the book is that this is what happens to you if you live independently without God. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are then presented with a walk of faith in this fallen world. And as I said at the beginning, if God found any other way in which we were to walk, he would have chosen that way and that path. It is the way Jesus walked, and it's the way that we walk as well. So in the context of all of this, and let's just remind ourselves of what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So in the context of what the Apostle Paul is speaking about, he's obviously being talking about being physically absent from the Lord. We know this because if you read it in verses 1 to 8, he already leads up to this, where he says, for example, in verse 2, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. And so he goes on. So he's, in other words, talking of the way that we are to walk in this life as sojourners, simply passing through. And the reason that we walk by faith and not by sight is because God works eternity into us. He is able, by our faith walk, to take all love and affection and dependence of this world, which we have been brought out from. Now, of course, it's a lifelong walk. Every day is an experience. Every day is a deliverance, a change, a working, so that we are more and more dependent upon him. And that is why he says that, for we walk by faith and not by sight. It's interesting, you know, that for a while when we're saved, we tend to be more concerned about our own personal needs, don't we? Which also includes our trials and our tests and all the various things that we go through in this life. So that when we come to the Lord, we're still very self-centered. We're still very much consumed within ourselves and our needs and believing God for those needs. And of course, that has a place. Don't get me wrong. But you know, if God leaves us in that state, that all our faith is just for our needs, my wants, which sadly a lot do preach today, particularly through the prosperity teaching. It simply makes us people who like to walk in the spotlight with our faith. Hey, look at my faith. Look what God has blessed me with. And you see, as we mature and grow in the faith, God wants us hidden. He wants us hidden from all of that boasting. Hey, look, see what God has done for me. Look how prosperous I am. Look how he's blessed me with this huge house and so forth. Now, it's not to say that God cannot and doesn't do that. It's where our heart and affection lies at the end of the day. And this is why so often God wants us hidden from all of that sort of thing when we walk with him by faith. He doesn't want us brightly illuminated with golden halos, succeeding by faith in everything. Even though potentially we are, in that sense. But we're not to let others see how successful we are or I am by walking by faith. That is not what faith is about. Faith, we know, is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus said, by the fruit of the Spirit, you will know them. And we know that fruit takes a time to develop, to mature. And like all fruit trees or whatever tree, they have to be cut back in which more fruit is produced. And this is what God does with us in our lives spiritually. But so many, it seems in the faith teaching, are so self-assured. They're so assured that they are of great value to God because I walk by faith. And it doesn't work in the end. And that's the whole problem. Because it's completely unlike Jesus and how he walked. And he walked totally by faith. He trusted totally in his Father. We know that. He speaks of it. His utter and complete dependence upon his Father, which is what the Holy Spirit is doing with us. This is why I say so often, and this is why our trials are so designed, so that we in those trials let go. All the while that we hold on with fear and unbelief and control and logic, it hinders our faith. And so the very tests and the very trials are, in actual fact, to let go, which of course you would never normally, you wouldn't do in the natural. But that is what he tells us to do, because so often we get in the way. We are the problem. And he's raising up a remnant now in these last days who will be totally, utterly, completely reliant upon God, upon the Holy Spirit's work and ministry in our lives. And that's why our walk of faith, with all its challenges, comes first from above, because it's a gift. To believe is a gift. Your faith, my faith, is a gift. God first loved us. It wasn't in us. He is the one that stopped us in our tracks and said, that's far enough, you go. And so in many ways it's disrespectful to the Holy Spirit, when we try to do things independent of him, and we do it. And quite often we do it out of fear. But he's removing that fear because he said there is no fear in the perfect love of God. And it is the love of God that works in our lives and hearts that draws out that fear, because fear is tormenting in nature. That's what it does. As we've said so many times before, fear is the devil's problem. He fears God and he fears his future, his destiny. And he wants us to be afflicted by that as well. Well, that is why God is delivering us and setting us free. Hallelujah. That's the good news of the gospel. And so, in our faith walk, as we walk each day with God, we have to stand against the spirit of this age. And to do so, it is a gift. It is a gift given us to us, the power to believe. When you believe in the word of God, when you find yourself saying amen to God's word, whether reading it or hearing it preached, that is a power working through you in which to believe that, to acknowledge that, and have a love for that. Of course, we have a free will, but we choose to surrender our wills over to him once he's touched our lives, as he does. And so this is why we go through our various tests and trials, and sometimes the delays of faith, in which to teach us, to show us. And so often it's to throw us totally, completely upon him. I think we're all beginning to understand, aren't we, in our various tests and trials, when they come, we know immediately, Lord, this is for me to let go. This is to let go of fear, anxiety. What if? Now, friends, what you're going through and what I'm going through, as the title of the sermon today tells us, there's nothing new. All saints have trod the same path. All the saints who we read also in the scriptures, from the Old Testament to the New, all have gone through exactly the same. The Holy Spirit's work is no different from anyone else. It is the same work through each of us, producing the ultimate end that we will make it into the kingdom of God. Yes, our journeys, our trials are different, but the ultimate end is still the same. And so the enemy likes to deceive us when we go through these various trials or testings or whatever it would be. Gosh, this is different. This is something new. I shouldn't think anybody else has been through this, what you're going through. Well, we've got news. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 tells us differently. There is nothing new. And this, I think, sorts out the men from the boys in the house of God. We have so many professing Christians today who are looking for something new, are looking for a new revelation, a new experience, new songs. They want to feel God. They want to feel the Holy Spirit. They want to be taken out of their state. I come to church tonight, I've had a hard week, and I want an experience with God. That, you know, is how so much of it is presented. And this is why, sadly, we have so much of church life, nothing more than simply entertainment, trying to make it religious. The Holy Spirit has not come to do that in and through each of us. The Holy Spirit's work is to get us out of the way and all our ideas and what we think will please God. There's nothing that we can do unless he reveals it to us. And that is how Jesus walked. I do nothing except what my Father reveals from heaven. And ultimately, that is what he's getting the overcomers, the remnants in this last day to walk by. The same how Jesus walked is the same how we walk. The same Spirit who raised him from the dead is the same Spirit who resides and dwells and lives in and through us. So if we're only looking to faith and promises only, it's a sign we don't really want God. Not really. We want what he can give. We want the blessings. And sadly, a lot of the faith and prosperity teaching, which has gone so off the rails these days, simply reveals they don't really want God. It's all about me, self, what I want. And that's why you will not find the cross ever taught in these meetings. We know that we are, as believers, to take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. The cross comes to deal with the self-life, the selfish life in us. We're selfish beings. And it takes the power of God to deal with that selfishness within us so that God can be first in everything. That is why I say so often that our walk as Christians is a supernatural walk. It cannot be achieved in the natural. And don't even attempt it. It takes the power of the Spirit to transform and change our lives into his likeness. And that is why he wants us to walk by faith. And as I said at the beginning, he wants us to walk by faith because, as he says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. With all the vanity and pride and rebellion, man living independently of God, that's the nature of the book of Ecclesiastes. And so God has designed that is the way in a fallen world that you and I are to walk by. Now it's foolish, isn't it? That's why they laugh at us. That's why they think we're peculiar, we're ridiculous, that we trust God and we walk by faith and so forth. But that is the way God has purposed it. And if there was any other way we were to walk, he would have shown us. Now the fact is, are you believing that God, by the faith that you have today, that mustard seed of faith, that's all he said that's required and needed, can you believe, are you believing that God ultimately will get you to walk by faith in these last days? Because that is the challenge. That is the challenge of the deeper life that we preach. That is the goal of all of this. Or are we in denial with regard to that question? Somehow, well, tomorrow it'll be better, or maybe in 6 months if the Lord tarries. No. What do we do with statements when God says that today, now? Or are we going to make excuses? Well, I need to go back and say farewell, goodbye to my parents or I need to go and bury my father, then I will come and follow you. If they are the excuses we're making, we're not yet there in that place of faith. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us and challenges us, and when he speaks to us, it's always impossible to keep, naturally speaking. When God speaks to us and shows us faith, there is always a mountain in front. But something within us says that with God, all things are possible. And we put no if, no but, or whatever. But we rise up and we walk. And I am going to walk by faith, trusting God completely. I don't know how it's going to be done, when it's going to be done. All I know is it will. Because God loves me and nothing will separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Don't we make it so complicated? And that's what fear, anxiety, unbelief does. You see, so many of us are waiting for him to somehow appear to us or to just make me feel as though I'm in faith. I need the feelings that go with it. We know that feelings have their place because God's given us feelings, but don't rely on them with regard to faith. Feelings can change like the wind. Somehow we're waiting for him to make the first move. Well, brothers and sisters, if you are truly hearing the teaching and exhortation tonight, you will find he's making the first move by his mercy and grace. But somehow it doesn't seem to be enough. But we're told that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. And so, he's not going to make that first move. He didn't make that first move with Peter, the apostles in the boat, when Jesus appeared walking on the water. All he said to him, come, walk. And he did. And that's so often the way we are to walk by faith. And you see, the reason I believe that God works it this way is because if he took the initial move every time, we would no longer seek him like we would or should. We're only just going to seek him for his blessings. But we don't have time to seek him for himself, for him. You see, all the while Jesus was teaching the disciples and those that followed him not to seek him simply for what they could get out of him. He was showing relationship. He was showing a commitment, a walk with God. If we see that our salvation through Jesus Christ is simply just for blessings and what I can get in this life, you have failed to understand your salvation. We have been wonderfully delivered and brought back by the greatest price that's ever been paid to bring us back into unity and oneness and fellowship with our Heavenly Father. That is what our salvation is about. And so, when we begin to experience God in that way, we find all the blessings All the promises that are in God's word and are all there, they're no longer the focal point anymore. There's something greater that's working with my faith. And that's Almighty God himself. And I believe this is why the bride that's making herself ready in these last days has to be given those conditions in which to make herself ready. And those conditions for the bride to make herself ready is she needs to be delivered from anxiety, from fear, from unbelief, those hindrances that's stopping the bride from making herself ready. Do you find that you still need promises in God's word to prove that he's faithful, to prove that he loves you, to prove that he hasn't left you, to prove that he's still with you? Do you still have to keep searching those scriptures every time you keep going through a trial? Eventually he's going to deliver you from that. Yes, he's put it all there because he loves us. But there comes a time, brothers and sisters, as we start to grow and mature in this war, that I don't need to have to keep running to all these promises to remind me that God will not forsake me. He's trying to work that in your life, in your heart, your experience. And that can only come when you are having fellowship with him and him alone. And all the while you are running for an experience, running for a feeling, running for a promise, you haven't yet got that experience with him, that oneness with him. Why, only today I had a phone call from a Christian. Sitting in the in the doctor's waiting room. Please pray for me. I'm going through a trial. And if the Lord shows you anything, if he's got a word for me, let me know. Now, you don't put these people down, because that's where they are. That's where Jesus met them. That's where we meet them. But I'm just using that as an example. So many are running from Christians to Christian or to minister. Tell me what the Lord is saying. I'm going through this trial. Have you had a word from God or whatever it would be? And they open themselves up for deception. The enemy can use this to deceive them. This is why he's delivering you from all of that. So that you hear from God yourself. That is why you're saved. You're saved for a personal relationship with him. Your covering is the blood of Jesus. Not an elder, not a bishop, not a man. And yet so many we find in the house of God are running to man to get an answer from God. That is not what we were saved for. How that must grieve the Father's heart. Because there is that fear, that unbelief, and so on. I have taught you and labored with you for years and years that you receive everything from God. That you hear from God. That you seek him. That is why, in many ways, I'm doing myself out of a ministry. But praise the Lord. Because that is what it's about. And it's not to say that we don't pray one for another and we encourage or help one another. Of course there is that place. But as I have said to you many times, that if somebody, a brother or sister, does share something with you, then very often you will find that God has already spoken to you. God has already gone before. And what a brother or sister is simply saying is confirming what you already know. That is how you're to walk. So it is a confirmation. And very often the Holy Spirit confirms or reconfirms to us so that we know the ways that God is leading and guiding and directing us. But we must be on our guard to this, because if you're in faith and you're trusting God, very often it's best to keep that between you and the Lord. How often have we found when we're waiting on God or we're not sure which way to go, and we go and share it with somebody else, and they may mean very, very well, they are sincere in everything, but very often what they say to you actually becomes more of a hindrance. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. That is what it means. In every way, commit it to him. Leave it there. And he will lead and guide your path. And very often he does it and confirms it and reconfirms it. But we lose it when we start to go to man, to the arm of the flesh, to try and get advice or leading and guidance, and it becomes nothing more than a hindrance. As I said, you have been saved for fellowship with God. You have been saved that you hear the voice of God in your life, that you know when your Heavenly Father speaks to you. And that is why the Christian walk is a walk 24/7. Not just a Christian Sunday or when I feel like it. Our whole life is in walk and communication with him. That's why you're baptized in the Spirit, in order for him to be able to do that in your life and my life. That he's constantly there. His presence is with you. You know that you can just communicate, you can talk, fellowship, or offer up those prayers in any situation. That is the power and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That is why it's miraculous, it's a miracle. Can't be done in the natural, because we all have commitments. We all have responsibilities. And yet here God says, in all of that, he will still walk and have fellowship because he's in and through us. He's made his abode with us. Of his fullness we have received. So that is why we walk by faith. There's nothing new to faith. There's nothing new to what I'm teaching. All the saints of old walk the same, trusting God. And God is getting us and getting a remnant in these last days who will walk by faith and not by sight. And you know, it doesn't take much discernment to see why he's challenging us to walk that way, with how the world is and how it is going. And all this technology that's coming out. Everything trying to make man more and more dependent upon the God of this world instead of the God of the heaven and the heavens, whose name is Jesus. You can see the conflict, the fight that is going on now in the heavens. So, it's interesting, as I bring this to a conclusion, out of all life, times and everything, we are moving rapidly towards the final days and the coming of the Lord. Whatever they try and tell you, don't listen to them. All the signs are showing that we are moving rapidly now towards the final conflict. And we know that that final conflict is going to be before Satan and the Lord Jesus Christ. That will be the final conflict. How we need to walk and move with Almighty God now in these last days. This is why it is such a deliverance, delivering us from all that we see in this world that tries to draw us away to be independent of God. And yet those very conditions, God is working deliverance to make us totally dependent on Him. I don't know how He does it. I don't know how He's going to do it. But all I know is He is doing it. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. We're going to have to trust God in many, many things. We're going to find that we have a choice, a decision. And they're going to come up and they will keep coming up until eventually we remove that word but, or the other word if. And if we love the Lord and we're in fellowship and unity with Him, when God speaks and when He says, come, walk on the water with me, don't put any conditions in the way. If your eyes are on Him, then you will walk to Him. You will follow Him. If we're not walking by faith, it's because our eyes are not really on Him. They're still on things of the world. And that is why you have a book like Ecclesiastes, for that very thing. Because it's showing you the pride, vanity. All is vanity. When you put your trust, your faith in the things of the world, the things of man, it's nothing but vanity. It's futile. It isn't going to last. You can't take any of it with you. You say to me, well, why do we have these things then in the world? Why doesn't God stop it? Well, God uses these things for that very purpose, to get you and I to walk by faith. He allows those mountains in your life for that very purpose, to walk by faith. So it should not come as a surprise, or whatever it is. You will see through every trial, through every test of faith, you will see the provision of God. He is there with provision. It's just we don't see it yet. But when our eyes are off those circumstances, when we're resting in Him, right in the midst of the fire, then you will see the provision of God. That is how we're to walk. Nothing new to it. All the saints since the fall of Adam have walked that very same walk. And Jesus Himself walked that walk. And we are to be followers of Him. Nothing new under the sun with regard to faith. Father, we thank You today. Thank You that You've shown us that we are to walk by faith. Forgive us, Lord, that we are still at times in denial. We're still pretending, still hoping that it will go away, but it doesn't. You are wanting us to have our eyes so set upon you that when you speak, when you move, when you call us, when you respond, we too will do likewise. And whatever the obstacles, whatever is there, we don't see it, because all we see is you. Father, please, in your mercy and grace, bring us to that experience and continue to deliver us. What hinders that? For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
And hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and the trees of the fields will clap their hands, for he will. Turn to the Lord.